بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا زياد بن مخراق قال حدثني تيسلة بن مياس قال: كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر، فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما، قال: ما هي؟ قلت: كذا وكذا. قال: ليست هذه من الكبائر، هن تسع: الإشراك بالله، وقتل نسمة، والفرار من الزحف، وقذف المحسن، وأكل الربا، وأكل مال اليتيم، وإلحاد في المسجد، والذي يستسخر، وبكاء الوالدين من الأقوك. قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما: أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة؟ قلت: إي والله. قال: أحي والداك؟ قلت: عندي أمي. قال: فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأتأمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر. طيسلة ابن مياس سيز: I was with the Najdat, the companions of Amir ibn Najda, one of the leaders of the deviated sect Al-Khawarij. فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا, I committed certain mistakes, sins. لا أراها إلا من الكبائر, which I considered to be from the kabair only. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لِبْنِ عُمَرَ, I mentioned these mistakes to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and that I thought they belong to the category of kabair, the major sins. Qala ma hiya? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma asked, what are they? Qultu kadha wa kadha, I said such and such, this. Qala laysat hadhihi min al-kabair. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, these mistakes are not from kabair, they are not major sins. Hunna tis'un, the kabair are nine. Number one, al-ishraku billah, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, وَقَتْلُ نَسَمَةٌ, to kill someone, to murder someone. Number three, وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ, fleeing from the battlefield. Number four, وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَةِ, to accuse, to slander an innocent and chaste woman. Number five, وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَا, taking usury, taking interest. Number six, وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, to consume, to take orphans' property, property of orphans, property, wealth of orphans. Number seven, وَإِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, إلحاد عند مسجد. This is also a major sin. إلحاد في المسجد, إلحاد عند مسجد. What is إلحاد؟ الميل عن الحق والعدول عن الحق. To deviate from the straight path. Ilhad is to turn away from the straight path, or to turn away from the truth. To move away from the straight path. To move away from the truth. So deviation or deviating, moving away, turning away from the truth, from the straight path. Fil masjidi, in the masjid. Now this word al-masjid here in this hadith, وَإِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, denotes a particular masjid. And that is the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarramah. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is saying that deviating from the truth, moving away from the truth, turning away from the truth, which is the straight path, in the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarrama is a major sin. Now if we look at the whole world, we can divide the whole world into three parts in order to understand this part of the hadith. The sacred masjid, al-masjidul haram. This is the most sacred part on this earth. The sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarrama, the building around Kaaba, wherein five times salat is performed, that masjid is al-masjidul haram. That is the sacred masjid. And that is the most sacred part on the surface of this earth. So from the three parts of this earth, one is the sacred masjid. Thereafter comes another layer. So we have the sacred masjid in the center, then comes the first layer. That layer is known as al-haram. And in some directions, from Baytullah, from Kaaba, from al-masjidul haram, from the sacred masjid, it goes as far as 3 miles. And in other directions, it goes as far as 10 miles. So around the Kaaba or around the al-masjidul haram, the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarrama, there is a layer of land which stretches in all 4 directions from anything from 3 miles to 10 miles. This area is known as haram. And in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And also in the Quran, when Al-Masjidul Haram is mentioned, then it can be taken to mean not only the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarramah, it can be taken to mean this whole area of Haram. Of course, there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama, or there will lie a difference of opinion amongst the ulama, whether the word Al-Masjidul Haram refers to only the sacred masjid, or the word Al-Masjidul Haram refers to the whole area of Haram in a particular verse of the Quran. For example, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَيَسُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ الَّذِي جَعَلْنَاهُ لِلنَّاسِ سَوَاءً الْعَاقِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, indeed those people who disbelieve, وَيَسُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and those who prevent people from the straight path, والمسجد الحرام, and who prevent people from المسجد الحرام. According to Imam Abu Hanifa رحمه الله, the word المسجد الحرام here means the whole of Haram. And according to Imam Shafi رحمه الله, the word المسجد الحرام here denotes only the sacred masjid, not the whole of Haram. Here we have a difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha. In another place, innamal mushrikuna najas, the idolaters are dirty and filthy. Their hearts are filthy. Their hearts are dirty. Because they have given place in their hearts to deities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this filth, فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ, they should not enter الْمَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامِ. Their bodies are not filthy, their hearts are filthy because of the wrong aqidah, aqidah of shirk. And because they are filthy, they are dirty, they should not come near Al-Masjidul Haram. They should not enter Al-Masjidul Haram. Here, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, again, his opinion is that Al-Masjidul Haram means the whole area of Haram around the sacred masjid. And Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala also agrees with him. And in whilst interpreting this verse of the Quran, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala says that in this verse, Al-Masjidul Haram denotes the whole area of Haram around the sacred masjid, which stretches away from the Haram, the boundary of which stretches away from the Haram anything between 3 miles and 10 miles on all 4 directions. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Glorified be He who took His servant during a tiny part of the night. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام, from المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى, to المسجد الأقصى. Here, Al-Masjidul Haram can mean the sacred masjid itself, and it can also mean the Haram. If we go through the journey of Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrates that I was resting in the home of my cousin sister, Umme Hani. radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, two angels came, Jibreel, Mikael, they woke me from my sleep and they brought me to the sacred masjid. And they took me as far as Hatim, the semicircle outside the Kaaba. And I dozed off to sleep again in the Hatim. And then I woke up again. They did what they wanted to, and then they took me from Hatim, from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and the journey towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa began. So there are two points from where we can say that the journey of Mi'raj began. One is the Hatim, and the other is the house of Umm Hani, radiallahu anha. If we assume that the journey of Mi'raj began from Hatim, from the sacred masjid, then we will say that Al-Masjidul Haram in this verse means the sacred masjid. Subhanalladhi, glorified be he who took his servant, Alladhi Asra bi'abdihi, in a tiny part of the night, split second, from Al-Masjidul Haram, from the sacred masjid, from the Hatim, إلى المسجد الأقصى, to المسجد الأقصى. And if we take the house of Umm Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha as the starting point of the journey of Mi'raj, then because the house of Umm Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha was not within the sacred masjid, but it was within the haram, so we will say that Al-Masjid Al-Haram here means not only the sacred masjid, but it means the area of haram. Subhanalladhi, glorified be he who took his servant in a tiny part of the night, in a split second, from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, from the area of haram, the sanctified area of haram, from the house of Umm Hani radiyallahu anha ila Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So the earth can be divided into three parts. One is the masjid itself. The sacred masjid itself, which stands in Makkah Mukarrama around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba. Thereafter we have the haram, the sacred part around the Kaaba, which, as I have mentioned earlier, stretches on all four sides of Kaaba and reaches anything from 3 miles to 10 miles. This is the sanctified area. And there are certain things which are permitted outside this sanctified area, which are not permitted within the sanctified area. For example, hunting animals, it is permissible outside the sanctified area, outside the haram. But within the haram, hunting animals is not permissible. Chopping trees, cutting trees, outside the sanctified haram is permissible, within the sanctified haram it is not permissible. So one part of the earth is the haram, the masjid of the haram itself, the masjid. Second part of this earth is the sanctified area, which is known as haram. Mina and Muzdalifa is within this sanctified haram, sanctified area. And Arafat is out of this sanctified area. And anyone who is in Makkah Mukarrama, if he wishes to perform Umrah, then to put on his ihram,
to don his ihram, he needs to leave the sanctified area and go out of the sanctified area and perform 2 rakat. If the time is not makruh for nafla salat, and there he will make the intention of umrah. Allahumma inni uridul umrata fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. And there he will read labbaik, Allahum labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulka la sharika laka. And with ihram, he will come from there. So when we are in Makkah Mukarramah, we travel to Masjid Aisha, which is approximately 3 miles from the sacred masjid. And we put on ihram from there. We have to go out of the haram. Jairana, where the battle of Hunain took place, it is approximately 8 to 9 miles. That's why many people call it the big umrah. That I performed a big umrah in this journey. That means they went as far as Jairana, where the battle of Hunain took place, and from there they came into ihram. But normally, people go to Masjid-e-Tan'im, which is also known as Masjid-e-Aisha, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and they put on ihram from there. And the ulama have said that it is more preferable and it is more virtuous to put on ihram from Masjid-e-Aisha, from Masjid-e-Tan'im. Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam performed Hajjatul Wada' for Shari'i reasons, Aisha radiyallahu anha could not perform Umrah. She was not in a pure state. And she remained in this state until the 8th of Zulhijjah. So she had to put on the ihram of Hajj and she had to leave for Mina. After the Hajj, Aisha radiyallahu anha said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because they were very greedy for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were very, very greedy for the hereafter. So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody will return from Makkah Mukarramah towards their homes with Umrah and Hajj. Is it only I who is going to return with one amal only the Hajj? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam called Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu, the brother of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, O Abdul Rahman, idhab biha ila at-tan'im. Take your sister to at-tan'im. There was no masjid at that time. Take your sister to at-tan'im. And let her go into ihram at Tan'im, which is outside the sanctified area, which is outside the haram. And let her come back from there and let her perform Umrah. So because that place is Tan'im, the masjid is known as Masjid at Tan'im. And because Aisha radiyallahu anha was the first one to perform Umrah from there, for this reason this masjid is known as Masjid Aisha. And if there was a better place than Masjid-e-Tan'im to put on the ihram for Umrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would have instructed Abdul Rahman radiyallahu anhu to take his sister Aisha radiyallahu anha to that point. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take her to Tan'im, because that was the best place to put on ihram for Umrah. But a person is able to put on ihram from anywhere outside the boundary of haram, boundary of the sanctified area, sacred area, anyway. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, after the battle of Hunain and after the battle of Taif, whilst spending some days in Jairana, one night he suddenly said, I wish to go and perform Umrah. Now Jairana is out of the boundary of haram, so he was able to put on ihram from there. So he put on ihram from there. And during the night, he came to Makkah Mukarramah, he performed Umrah and he returned during the night. And this intention was so spontaneous during the night that many of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in were not even aware that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had performed Umrah. So much so that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who was in Jairana and who used to make note of everything that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did or said, was not aware of this Umrah. So one should try to perform Umrah from Masjid At-Tan'im, because that is the best point. But once in a while, a person should also go to Jairana, because it is a practice found in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one should go to Jairana also and perform at least one Umrah in life from Jairana. The taxi will be able to take you there. Buses don't go there, but taxi will be able to take you there, Jairana. And as I said, because Jairana is approximately 8, 9, 10 miles from the sacred masjid, and Masjid At-Tanim is only 3 miles away, 3, 4 miles away, people say that the Umrah from Jairana is big Umrah and the Umrah from Tan'im is small Umrah. Yes, it could be big and small according to the distance, but according to the virtue, the Umrah from Tan'im is more bigger than the Umrah from Jairana. I have read in a book that during the old days, people used to travel to Tan'im and Jairana on donkeys. And outside Babul Umrah, there was a person who had a few donkeys, 5, 10, 15, 20, and people used to hire the donkey from him to go to Tan'im or go to Jairana. And the donkeys were trained in such a fashion that if a person used to come and say, I want to go to Tan'im to put on a ihram, then the owner of the donkey would put him on a donkey and he would slap the donkey at the back and he would say, Tan'im. He would not stop until he would reach Tan'im. And if somebody said, I want to go to Jairana, so he would put this person on the donkey and slap the donkey from the back and he would say, Jairana, and the donkey won't stop until it would make him reach Jairana. So this haram, the sanctified area, that is the second part of the world. And anything outside the boundary of haram is the third part of the world. This third part of the world where we are, England, America, Japan, even Jeddah, anything outside the sanctified area, this third part, committing a major sin is very, very severe in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a major sin is a major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very unhappy when a person commits a major sin. It is very severe. Now this person who commits a major sin outside the sanctified area goes into the sanctified area, in the area of haram, and he violates the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or right of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he commits a crime. He commits a major sin in the sanctified area, in the haram. Now this becomes even more severe. And thereafter you have a third person, or the same person, who goes into the sacred masjid, masjid itself, and he commits a major sin. There is nothing more severe than this. There is nothing more severe than this. So you have somebody committing a sin outside the sanctified area, major sin. It is very, very severe. You have another person who is committing a sin within the sanctified area. It is much more severe.
And you have a third person who is committing a major sin in the masjid itself. It is the most severe of the crimes.
There is nothing that can be more severe than this. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, when enumerating the major sin, says, wa ilhadun fil masjid, to move away from the haq, straight path, to turn away from the haq, the straight path. That means to commit the act of kufr. This is also ilhad. To commit the act of kufr, this is also ilhad. To commit the act of shirk, this is also ilhad. To commit a major sin, this is also ilhad. And to commit a minor sin, this is also ilhad.
But here, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma is specifically talking about major sin. So ilhadun, turning away from the straight path or turning away from haq, that means committing a major crime, major sin. Where?
Fil masjid, in the masjid, the sacred masjid itself.
Greatest crime. But that does not necessarily mean that committing a major crime outside the sacred masjid, within the boundary of the haram, the sanctified area, is not major sin.
Or to commit a major sin outside the sanctified area, where we are,
in Leicester, in England, in London, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Africa, is not a major sin.
No. Major sin will remain major throughout the world. But it has three categories. Here is also major, in haram is also major, in the sacred masjid is also major. All major sins.
But carrying out a major sin within the masjid, the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarramah, is the severest of the crimes.
Wa ilhadun fil masjid. And the Quran talking about not the sacred masjid, because sacred masjid is also part of the haram. So haram is the sanctified area. And the most important part of that sanctified area is the sacred masjid. So the Quran, when speaking about the sanctified haram, says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ. One who intends to move away from the Sirat-e Mustaqim, move away from the Haq. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ. One who intends to move away. Move away. One who makes intention of ilhad, to move away from the straight path, that means one who intends to commit shirk, carry out an act of kufr, to commit a major sin or to commit a minor sin. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ. Unjustly. Unjustly. By committing shirk. One who intends to move away from the straight path, bidhulmin, by committing shirk, inna shirka la dhulmun adim, or by committing kufr, wal kafiruna humuz zalimun, or by committing disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is also dhulm. Nudhikhu min adabin alim. We will make them taste a very, very painful punishment.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that when a person intends to commit a sin, there are various stages of intention also. Weak intention, very firm intention.
So when a person intends to commit a sin, for example, let's take somebody who makes a firm resolution that after the Isha Salat, na'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. A person makes a firm resolution that after the Isha Salat, I am going to watch a film. Makes a firm resolution. And he is unable to watch the film due to becoming sick and being hospitalized. He did not change his intention. The intention was firm that I'm going to watch film after Isha Salat. I will be free after Isha. I have nothing to do today. I'm going to watch a film or I'm going to commit another sin, whatever. Firm intention. And suddenly, there is pain in his stomach. And after Isha or before Isha, he is hospitalized and he is unable to watch this film. Because he had firmly resolved to watch the film, this in itself is a sin, this firm resolution. And unless he repents, he will be punished on the day of Qiyamah. He will be questioned for it on the day of Qiyamah. You have another person who makes a firm resolution that after Isha Salat, I am going to commit this crime. I am going to commit this sin, major sin, minor sin. He makes a firm resolution. But during the Isha Salat or after Isha Salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his fadl. And he feels regretful, remorseful. And he says, Tawbah, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah. What am I intending to do? And voluntarily, he stops going towards that sin. And he does not commit that sin. Because he is exercising mujahada and he is staying away from something that he had firmly resolved to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him now. But sometimes we make intentions, but that intention is not a very firm one. I do not intend to go into the detail of the five different levels of intentions. There are certain intentions which reach a level which is regarded as a very, very weak and poor level. It's just a thought, not a firm resolution. A person is not punished for that. Firm resolution, when a person makes a firm resolution to do something evil and he is unable to do it because of circumstances, not that he has left it voluntarily, then he will be punished for that intention. And if he carries that crime out, he will be punished for two sins. One, intending firmly to carry out the sin, and number two, to carry out that sin. But there are lower stages of resolutions or intentions. Just thoughts. A person just for thoughts, just for intentions, which are not very firm, will not be punished in the hereafter. But Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala says, that the hukm and the ruling of the sanctified area around the sacred masjid is different. There, if a person makes a weak intention to commit a sin, even for that he will be punished. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ One who intends within the sanctified area to do ilhad by committing kufr, by committing shirk, by carrying out a major sin, by carrying out a minor sin, نُذِكْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Another interpretation, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ One who is outside the sanctified haram, he is not in the sanctified haram, one who is outside the sanctified haram and whilst outside the sanctified haram, he makes intention of committing a crime within the haram. In Leicester, I am going to Makkah Mukarrama on this day and there I am going to do this. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ One who is outside the sanctified haram area, he makes intention to commit a crime within the sanctified area. نُذِكْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will punish him severely. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bi hijaratin min sijjil faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Alam tara, did you not see? Kayfa fa'ala rabbuk, how your Rabb dealt with the people of the elephant. Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Did he not make their conspiracy go astray, become useless?
وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا, he sent upon them birds which are known as ababil. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيل, which the birds which were striking the people of the elephant, the army of Abraha, with stones of Sijil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all of them.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, يَغْشُ جَيْشُنِ الْقَعْبَةِ,
nearer the qiyamah, يَغْشُ
جَيْشُنِ الْقَعْبَةِ, an army will make intention
and woke, an army will make evil intentions to bring down the Kaaba and to destroy the inhabitants of Makkah Mukarrama, and it will move towards Makkah Mukarrama.
يَغْشُ جَيْشُنِ الْكَعْبَ فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضُ, when they will reach a place which will be plain field,
when the whole army will reach a place which will be open field outside Makkah Mukarrama, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bury their first and their last. Allah will bury the whole army in the ground.
So this is the second interpretation, that those people who make intention to commit crime within the sacred area, which is known as Haram, the sanctified area, and they are outside, Allah will punish them there also.
Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anuhuma was so careful
in regard to the sanctified area, the area of Haram, that when he used to go to Makkah Mukarrama with his family for Umrah, then he would erect two tents, one outside the Haram and one inside the Haram.
One outside the Haram, one inside the Haram. And he would spend most of his time in the tent which is inside the Haram.
But if he had to reprimand any of his juniors, then he would not reprimand them whilst in that tent. Because when a person reprimands, he may have to exaggerate a little bit, and in anger he may say something which he is not supposed to say. So he would go into the other tent, which is outside the boundary of Haram. And he would call his junior and reprimand him there.
So somebody asked him there, why do you do this?
Why do you have two tents? You stay in this tent when you need to reprimand somebody, then you come out of this tent and you go into that tent. He said that the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, when talking about the respect and the reverence of the Haram, used to say that without reason to say bala wallahi and bala tallahi. The Arabs used to, without any firm intention of oath, it was their habit to say wallahi. Even today they say wallahi, by Allah. So he said that the Sahaba used to say that for without reason to say bala wallahi, bala tallahi is also ilhad fil haram. So I am just making sure that I don't commit any mistakes whilst I am in the Haram. And Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anuhuma used to say that to commit one sin within the sanctified area of Haram, to commit one sin is more severe than committing 70 sins outside. Allama Tahir Patni rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great muhaddith of the Indian subcontinent, in fact a great muhaddith of Gujarat, he was a Gujarati,
Allama Tahir Patni rahimahullahu ta'ala, an accepted personality by the Arab and the Ajam. He has left behind legacy in the form of books
from which the Arab and the Ajam both benefit. Allama Tahir Patni rahimahullah ta'ala has stated that if a person commits a major sin, minor sin, if a person commits a minor sin within the sanctified area of the haram, and another person commits a major sin outside the sanctified area of haram, this person committing a minor sin within the sanctified area of haram is more disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the one who commits a major sin outside the sanctified haram. I have gone to some detail today because alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind to the people who live in this part of the world, Europe, also America, Africa, and we are given the opportunity to frequently go for Umrah. And my late mentor, my beloved Sheikh Haji Muhammad Farooq rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that Umrah and Hajj has become a fashion in this day and age. People go for Umrah, people go for Hajj, and they behave in the same manner that they would behave here. Some difference. We don't perform tawaf here, we will perform tawaf there. We are not so particular regarding the 5 times salat here, we will be particular regarding 5 times salat there. Some tasbihat, extra tasbihat, salat al nabi, recitation of the Quran, certain things increases. Other than that, adab, reverence is not there. Reverence for the place where you are. We will not make noise in this masjid of ours. But we are seen making noise in Al-Masjid Al-Haram and in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. We will abhor the ringing tones on the mobile in the masjid here in Leicester. But we freely use the mobile when we are in Al-Masjid Al-Haram and in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. We violate the respect of the Haramain Sharifain. We violate the respect of the sanctified area Haram. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, I heard this from my Ustad of Abu Dawud Sharif, Hazrat Maulana Hashim Sahib Hafidhahullah ta'ala, that Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, while still Al-Masjid Al-Haram and in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, would not prefer to talk to anybody. Against the adab. My late Sheikh, Hadrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, once he was in Makkah Mukarrama, once he was in Madinah Munawwara, you could see the change in his body language. Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, you could see the change in his body language. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It is as if all the while his senior is looking at him. Somebody is supervising him. He used to become like a student. A student in a school, a student in a college, a student in a nursery. How that student would behave when he feels that maybe my teacher is looking at me, maybe I am being supervised, monitored. That is how he used to behave. I have seen him with my own eyes. He would speak very little. And seldom he was seen going right at the front, at the Rawda, conveying salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He would say that I do not have the courage to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very little he used to speak. Every time, head low, eyes lowered, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara.
Even in his old age, when he reached the age of 70, he would perform one umrah daily whilst in Makkah Mukarramah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And I just read one incident this morning regarding him. I was studying a book. The person who was with him in Medina Munawwara narrated this incident, that one day I was coming out of Masjid Nabawi with Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi rahimahullah ta'ala, my sheikh. And he said, as soon as we came out of Masjid Nabawi, a person moved forward towards Hazrat Maulana to shake hands with him. Maybe he knew him, he had recognized him, he was from Pakistan, from elsewhere. Or Sheikh's face was very, very illuminating. So he just attracted him. So he moved forward. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh said, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And he started sobbing and crying. The khadim is just standing there looking at Hazrat. Why is he crying so much? That person is also looking at him and saying, why is he crying so much? After a few minutes, when he was able to control himself, he looked at the person and he said, why don't you ask me why I am crying? So this person said, Hazrat, why are you crying? So he said, after looking at your face, which does not have beard, the thought occurred to me that how much pain you must have caused to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you went to do salam to him. He said, how much pain you must have caused to my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That pain to my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making me cry. It had so much effect on this person that he quickly held the hands of Hadrat and he said, Hadrat, I am making you witness, I am repenting from this sin now and right now. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that ilhadun fil masjid, ilhad in the sacred masjid, the most severest of the sins. Shirk in the committing a minor sin in the sacred masjid, Allahu Akbar. And then going as far as major sin, and then kufra and shirk. Thereafter committing a minor sin within the sanctified haram. So we need to be very, very careful when we are within the al-masjidul haram, within the sacred masjid. But outside also. Some people are very, very careful when they are inside, but outside, in our hotels. Our hotels in Makkah Mukarramah lie within the sanctified area. Sanctified haram. We need to control our tongues. My late mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, when he went for Hajj or Umrah, he asked his Sheikh for advice. And one of the advices his Sheikh, Maulana Masihullah Khan rahimahullah ta'ala, gave was, keep your eyes, your ears, your tongue, and your heart and mind monitored. Tongue, eyes, ears, heart and mind monitored. Within the sanctified area, we need to be very, very careful. In Masjid Nabawi also, we need to be very, very careful. And thereafter, outside the sanctified area, we need to be very, very careful, because major sin is major sin. And what we need to do is to try to stay away from every minor sin also. Because Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that, have you come across any intelligent person who will say that you should stay away from a large snake, but a small snake doesn't really matter if he bites you? Have you come across any intelligent person who will say that you should stay away from a large scorpion, but a small scorpion is no problem, let it come in your home? consequence of both will be seen. The consequence of the large scorpion biting you and the consequence of a small scorpion biting you will be same. The only difference is that the bite of the sting of the large scorpion will show its effect quickly, and the sting of the small scorpion will show its effect slightly later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to rever the sanctified area haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to rever al-masjidul haram, the sacred masjid in Makkah Mukarrama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to rever the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to rever all the masajid throughout the world, all the holy places throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from violating His rights and violating the rights of His servants anywhere on the surface of this earth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all inclination towards doing good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create within our hearts hatred for everything that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.